Live from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper, you are Live from the Path.
And you're listening to Live from the Path. We're coming from the Pathway Studios here in Johnston proper. I think I've decided to change the show to be, we'll get to it when we want from the path. So I
think that's fair.
Just, we're not so live.
You know, I haven't been broadcasting the show live. We just get better quality if I record it and then upload it later. And then like, I mean, we probably missed at least 2 weeks since I said, hey, we probably shouldn't stop missing weeks. And I just, you know, I would get to it. So here's the deal, though. I'm pretty confident that y'all ain't begging at the door for it. It's just kind of a nice surprise, like when someone is the Schwann man gives you the neighbor's ice cream. And you're like, you know, I wasn't expecting this, but okay, I think I'll take it. I hope no one asks about it. So I assume that's generally how I assume you take in the show. If someone asks about it, you might be a little bit awkward and not admit to it. But otherwise, it's not too bad if it shows up on your doorstep. So you're welcome. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Oh, man.
Here's what we got going on the show tonight. So we do have some secular versus Solomon.
Woohoo!
This is a rousing round today. As a matter of fact, I found one of these items. I read it and I thought, I don't understand what this means. And then I thought, what I don't have an understanding of, based upon where I get some of these world proverbs from, is like how much they are in use. Like, did some one guy's grandpa in Nigeria say it for a while and it made it onto the site or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Or like, are people using it, you know? And so, we'll see if you can pick it out. See if you can pick out which one I'm talking about. And then you're just going to have to help me understand it. Cause I need to know whether people from this country are using this in wisdom. And how do I deal with them?
Okay.
Say if they were a used car salesman and they were working under this premise, how would I deal with them?
All right. So listen for the proverb that has to do with used car salespeople.
It may not be all that clear that I thought of used car salespeople.
I would hope so. I would hope it wouldn't be that clear. Cause that sounds like not a really fun game.
Probably not from Solomon either.
No.
He talked about used cars sometimes. It was in between fool and wise.
Let's see. What else we got going on? Oh, and we'll have some advice on Dear Life from the Path. Booba's going to take care of those for us today. Oh, and yes. Then I read an article, and I can't read things anymore. Because I was trying to figure out.
Sounds like a personal issue, Ben.
I got to do the surgery. Okay, so here's it. It's from Relevant Magazine, and it says, Congressman, if climate change exists, God can take care of it. That's the article. Okay.
And so, the congressman said that.
Yeah. Somebody's talking to him about climate change. He's like, well, God can take care of it, okay? Yeah. So I saw this quoted in many areas, and they didn't provide the full thing that the man said. So I was trying to find somewhere, like, what did he actually say, and so here's they quoted him enough where I think it gives better context. So it says, at a town hall last week, Representative Tim Walberg, Republican from Michigan, told a constituent that he believes in climate change and thinks man has had some impact, but feels that if it's a real problem, it's one that God will fix. From the Huffington Post, which obtained a video of the town hall, he says, I believe there's climate change. I believe there's been climate change since the beginning of time. I believe there are cycles. Do I think man has some impact? Yeah, of course. Can man change the entire universe? No. Why do I believe that? Well, as a Christian, I believe that there is a creator in God who is much bigger than us, and I'm confident that if there's a real problem, he can take care of it. It's possible, of course, that Representative Walberg is correct. God is certainly capable of miraculously fixing climate change, and we can and should trust him. But it's also important that we do not depend on cheap grace as an easy out for being responsible with the planet. The Bible is still clear that there can be consequences for our destructive actions. I'm interested in that. According to the Washington Post, only half of white evangelicals believe climate change is real, and only a quarter believe humans are responsible for it. So let's ignore the commentary from the Relevant Magazine, folks. On its face... So what I read initially was, guy just says, the climate is changing, God will fix it. And I thought, you know.
That seems lame.
Okay. But like, in context.
Yeah.
So, it's a lot clearer with what he's saying.
Yeah. That's the whole concept. They're trying to pull you in with the article title. I mean, that's the whole point. It's a lot easier to pull you in with some crazy Christian thinks that God's just going to fix climate control and we don't have to do anything. Without context, that seems like a crazy article that you want to read. So,
some of the opposite. I think it's hilarious that people think we can do anything about it. Or that we have done anything to cause it.
Yeah, I mean...
I mean, it makes me literally laugh out loud.
So, I mean, this guy's on board with... He's on board with humans have an impact.
Right.
What he said was... Let's see. He said there's... do I think the climate is changing? Yes. I mean, here's the deal. We still look at it every year when it comes up on this day, and we say, hey, how close are we to the record high? Obviously, the climate was different at the time we had a record high than today.
Except they say, like, the last, was it 30 years? It hasn't changed. It hasn't gone up anyway.
Yeah.
Like, the temp, whatever, however, whatever that temperature is.
So, like, and yeah. this is where it's interesting, right? Because, like, that depends on, there's, like, a series of data, freaking data, people and stuff, right?
They use a hell of a
like, what's most likely to show up on a conservative website is the data that says nothing is changing. Right. What's most likely to show up on the liberal website is that the stuff has been wild out of control.
Dying.
Right.
Yeah.
Logical fallacies.
So, I mean, am I confident? Because I've read quite a bit on it. Do I look at any of these data sets and I'm like, oh, yeah, like, these guys nailed it? No, I don't particularly trust that. So... Is it this guy's basic position is, yeah, it changes because it does that. That's just what climate does. Do humans have the ability to impact the climate? Yes, but he's proposing that it's marginal. Any major changes are at God's hand one way or the other. That's basically his position, which is markedly, is much more nuanced than, God will fix it. Which means, because the implication, obviously, someone has taken that quote and they said, well, go ahead and dump your crap everywhere.
Do what
everywhere.
You want. Yeah. 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 We're still supposed to be responsible.
Yeah. Well, and so the question would be, though, if that is not, if there's no impact, why would we consider it responsible? Right? Like, if it doesn't really matter, why is it responsible not to, like, to stop doing something over another thing?
Well, yeah. I mean, just like, why would we want to make dirty water or air or what?
Yeah, that's the point, right?
We can sell the cleaning systems?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, that's just, like, can't we do it for the right reason? You know, like, let's stop killing ourselves, not we're making it hotter.
Right.
You know, we're poisoning our children. I'll stop for that. Okay, yeah, let's stop dumping stuff, sewage, in the rivers because we're poisoning our children. Okay, yeah, I'm all for that.
Yeah, people are weird, right? Like the things that everyone can agree, let's leave the macro climate stuff out of it for just a second.
Yeah.
So if we can all agree that dirty water's bad, dirty air is bad, and we agree that it is dirtying the air and the water, then we say, okay, we should just stop doing this, regardless, and then you get the big one for free. How about that? How about let's agree on that? We can just do that.
The concept of global warming, if it is happening, is a big deal as it happens within our entire ecosystem. It can, like, crash certain things, but... More people are going to care if you tell them about the certainties of like, what's happening to them.
Yeah.
If we rightly name this, we no longer have to fight about it.
Well,
because no one's on board with hurting their kids.
And here's the thing. Maybe this is a generational thing, too. I'm old enough to remember them being just as adamant about the world freezing.
Yeah.
I remember in school reading the little reader thingies about they were going to dump coal in the poles so it would attract the sun and warm up the poles so we could melt the sun. You know, I remember, and that was all the talk back then. And then they said, well, never mind. Now we're going to heat up. You know, I mean, it was just like you guys all are changing your mind. And it usually boils back, follow the money, to people trying to raise taxes or, you know, doing something. This is a business deal. It's like, just tell us the truth. Let's be responsible.
Yeah. And I think the micro story is, even on things like, with the sea. Right, so like, hey, we gotta be careful with the barges because it spills oil everywhere. And it's like, oh, careful, it's gonna poison the whole ocean. Well, like, I mean, it poisoned, like, you know of barges that have leaked oil and have harmed wildlife in, you know, a 3 or 4 square mile area. And I say, that's enough. Let's be careful.
Let's
do whatever is necessary.
It's not global for us to go, we probably shouldn't kill those baby ducks anymore. That's not a cool deal.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't want to completely dismiss. There's value in trying to figure out what right data is from a broad perspective.
Yeah.
But short of like people not being able, not willing to budge on either side of that discussion, I feel like the micro case are things we can agree on. So let's just start there.
Yeah, let's put filters on factories so we're not, like, polluting. I mean, or whatever. The stuff they've talked about doing. Like,
yeah.
Most of that stuff, I'm like, yeah. Solar energy? Yeah.
Seems like a good idea.
Okay.
Yeah, no one's against wind power.
Yeah. All right. It's free.
As a matter of fact,
the birds will get killed, but, you know, that's awkward.
If people say, hey, the Lord has provided energy in this way, we should use it, I say, well, yes, that seems great.
Sounds like a plan.
You want to pay a man to turn a crank, or we can just put a thing out and have the sun soak it in, I say, 2:10, I'm in.
Yeah.
Make it happen.
I'm good with that.
Put them all over the Midwest. No problems whatsoever. We'll deal with the traffic that they cause.
All right. Anyway, I thought that was interesting because, like, obviously, the quote jumps out at you, and like, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, here's the deal. Someone might have said it. There was another guy who's I don't know, who made some weird comments earlier this week, who somehow got into the state house about just shooting people if they claim to be Muslim.
Oh, man.
But you know when you read something like that, like, I'm not getting the full context. And sometimes the context doesn't help, but, like, I thought this, it's obviously more nuanced than what he presented.
Right.
Or than what they were presenting out. So, anyway, I thought that was interesting. Yeah. The Relevant magazine, however, wags the finger at him. they accuse him of cheap grace as an easy out for being responsible with the planet. What's going on over there?
I may have got a Snapchat.
Okay, right.
I didn't think it had any noise.
Nick Harris, are you Snapchatting Dan?
We're hip and cool. Live from the past.
Hey, he might have been a puppy Snapchat.
I had to look at it.
All right. Anyway, here's the deal. Your mic, but a broad takeaway is, like, your micro problems are enough. All right, do the right thing because it's the right thing to do, even on a micro level.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. I thought there was one other article. Let's see if I can find it. No. Talk to your kids about sex. I'm not really going to do that. I think there's an article here on, says how to talk to kids about sexuality and sex and stuff. And there's, I mean, this lady's holding like a 4-year-old. It's gotta be a 4-year-old out there looking at a soccer game. And I think, you know, I like to have open conversation with my kids. And frankly, we'll talk about things as they come up when they ask questions about things they see in the news or something. Like, I don't particularly shy away from that stuff, but, like, I don't know if I need to have a sit down with my 4-year-old and say, here's what the bees are doing.
Yes.
Oh, man.
As a matter of fact, I don't even understand that, because I don't think the bees are accomplishing things in a similar way.
I've never figured out. Yeah,
that's not a...
What do they have to do with birds?
Yeah. The birds and the bees. Yeah, I still don't understand that one. Yeah. So
we'll go with bunnies. At least, I mean, you know, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah, yeah. All over my living examples, right?
Yeah,
bees. I just bees go pick it up somewhere else and then take it elsewhere. Like, it's just not a similar act.
If you want to worry about the repercussions of a certain action, that's true. Bunnies.
Look what they're doing.
Yes. Yeah. Notice
now.
How,
watch the yard.
Yes. Just buy 2 bunnies, and then a year and a half, when you have 60 bunnies, then you've set yourself up for a good conversation. It's like, hi, sweetheart. You know how we had 2, and now we have a lot more bunnies. That's what happens.
I kid you not. When my kids were young, I purposefully got an aquarium with guppies.
So they would create more guppies?
So they would create more guppies.
Because, you know, if you ever had guppies, the guys are chasing the girls. Uh-huh. They never stop. They never stop. They're always like, hey, look at my tail.
Dan explains the dating scene of America.
I said, here's the deal. This is how it works. And I said,
every guy, we're
all chasing after you. You know, you're going to have guys chase.
Oh,
just
man.
See? That ruined it for you, though.
Yeah, as a 25-year-old man, thanks.
You'll thank me someday.
I'm never talking to anybody.
You'll have kids someday and say, wait a minute.
Exactly. I'm going to be the dude that, like, the next time I talk to anybody, it's going to be like, oh, my guppy.
I'm wigging my tail.
I need to stop being a guppy. I need to go be a hermit crab and go sit in the corner. Like, that's what you should have done. A bunch of guppies and then one hermit crab.
That would have been good.
Find the hermit crab.
See, the hermit crab man is...
He's introspective.
He's happy.
No one's causing him any trouble. He's got his own house with him.
He's introspective. He takes care of
his own. Not trying to impress anybody.
He takes care of himself.
Not saying anything to get some action. He's going to leave
him. He isn't reliant. He didn't even talk to those guppies. Those guppies are nothing.
It was a great lesson. And then they ate their babies. I didn't know how to go.
And then you had to explain that we're not a carnivorous species.
Don't eat your babies.
They
cannibalistic.
Oh,
hey, man, that might scare your kids from the dating scene if you say there's like a twang of cannibalism to it.
That's true.
That's awkward.
It's also lying to your children, so you got to deal with that morality.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, I don't have to do that.
Just saying. It might help.
You see what happened there? They live in a fallen tank. That's what happens.
See how dirty that tank looks?
It's dirty. Done. God created guppies to follow other guppies, but not to do that. All right. Well, I can't find the article I was looking for.
It's all good, man. We just broke down about a guppy situation. So
I'm a lot more relaxed about that stuff now that I'm beyond all that stuff.
Do you still have guppies at your house?
I was going to say, do you still have the guppies?
We have different fish. We have like the tetras or whatever. They don't ever have babies, but they last like forever.
Is that the message you're sending right now?
No, don't have babies. No, I just, my message was, guppies just don't last as long. Or it could be how I was treating them, I don't know. So now I got some guppy fish.
Dan illustrates major life lessons with different aquatic wildlife. I like it.
Yeah, I learned something tonight.
I was going to say, I didn't know that about guppies, to be honest with you. So now I know. You should get like some gentoo penguins to talk to right here.
Tell her Solomon.
Buddy. Oh. I know what that is, man.
This is going to be bad. especially when one of my goals for the year was to read a proverb every day. I did really well for a while, and then now it's June.
Halfway through.
Has it not been happening, Dan?
It's probably been 3 months.
Oh, no.
I'm like, where to put my goal book? Oh, I don't know.
Wait, like a proverb a day?
A chapter a day. So that
chapter
a day. I'd read it through 12 times, the whole book. But I failed.
Yeah, here's the deal. I'm teaching on proverbs, and I didn't read a proverb a day.
I think it's just good stuff to know.
Agreed.
Especially when you have secular versus Solomon.
Right.
Here's the deal. You've stumbled onto America's fastest-growing internet game show, Secular versus Solomon. Here's the crux of the game. I'm going to give you a proverb, a bit of wisdom, and you need to tell me whether it is a biblical bit of wisdom or whether it is something that is from the world. And if it is of the world, I want to know the country of origin. That is, excuse me, fellas, country of origin.
Can it be a fish tank?
Dan and Bova, country of origin.
Atlanta Aquarium.
Guppyland.
Chuck's house? Chuck's house. Somebody in Chuck's house said it. I know it.
Secular Mesopotamia?
The oceans of mighty big land.
Do they have countries that exist today?
This week they are countries that exist today.
Okay, cool.
Oh, yep, they are active.
Secular Ottoman Empire.
They are United Nations on board.
Wow.
All right, so I'll give you that, and then Mike's not here to award the points.
No, I've got the points.
Boova's in. Your Boova's awarding the points.
Yep.
All right, here we go. Secular versus Solomon, number one. We're going to start with Boova. Dead flies make the perfumer's ointment give off a stench. Dead flies make the perfumer's ointment give off a stench. Secular or Solomon? Boova.
I'm going to say secular, and I'm going to go Uzbekistan.
Secular Uzbekistan, Dan.
Wow, I'm going secular as well. I'm just trying to think of a place with lots of flies that might go into the ointment.
Uzbekistan.
There's no way this isn't offensive.
Yeah, that's it. See, I can't think of anything, so I have to. That's why I'm stalling. So I'm going to go. It has to be the Philippines.
Dan, secular Philippines. Nick Harris.
You guys both have fly stories?
No.
I did have. I have a number of flies. You're in with secular?
Yes, sir. But you still got me thinking about the flies.
I mean, there has to be a reason they'd come up with a proverb. They must have a lot of flies.
Right.
That's what
right.
I think.
Especially in Uzbekistan.
I mean, no one's going to kick your dog if you got the wrong country here, Nick Harris. We can't.
No,
you can't be spending 2 hours on this thing.
No, I know. I just can't think of it right now. Like, I don't
pick a country. Nick Harris is in for Canada. Secular Canada. I'm going to do your country if you take too long.
That's great. That's great.
I'm not likely to give you the right answer. Here we go. Do not take... dead flies make the perfumer's ointment to give off a stench. It is Solomon, Ecclesiastes 10:1.
Oh, you always get me with Ecclesiastes.
Ecclesiastes 10:1. You shallow Solomon reader.
I know.
Yeah, I thought
focus
it was.
On the Proverbs. I never get to Ecclesiastes. Thanks for calling out the error of my ways.
The emperor has no clothes. All right, secular or Solomon, peace with a club in hand is war. Peace with a club in hand is war. Secular or Solomon, Dan?
Well, I'm going to go secular again. It's reminding me a lot of stuff going on in Texas, but that's not a country, so... I'm going to go just south of that and say Mexico.
It ends in with Mexico, although if you were to ask a Texan, it is indeed a country.
That is the truth.
But that is a technical limitation. Dan is right not to choose Texas. All right, Nick Harris. Peace with a club in hand is war, secular or Solomon?
I'm going to have to go secular.
Okay, secular. Country?
Who could have said that? You know, if I take more than 10 seconds, I'm thinking too hard.
I gave you 5. Bolivia.
Okay.
Bolivians in the club.
Harris is in for Bolivia. Boova.
I'm going to go secular, and I'm going to say Nepal.
Secular in Nepal. Peace with a club in hand is war. It is indeed secular Portugal. Portugal. Bolivia was a terrible answer, Nick Harris.
What are you thinking?
How embarrassing.
Come on, man.
All right, here we go. Secular or Solomon. If you fear God, you won't fear humans. If you fear God, you won't fear humans. Secular or Solomon. Nick Harris.
I say secular.
secular and country.
There you go again. Let me see. Give me a second. Because I'll be trying to really get it right.
I got to get some music for you.
Yeah,
I
got to
get
right?
some Nick Harris thinking music.
Just do Mario.
It's me.
Hey, I will find Mario if every time you're going to go, it's me, Mario.
It's me, Mario. Here we go.
All right, Ukraine. You're in for Ukraine. Congratulations, Nick Harris. You're touring the Eastern Bloc. Booba, if you fear God, you won't fear humans.
I'm going to say secular United States.
Secular United States. Dan.
Sounds like right. something we'd say.
I don't know why I laughed at that. okay, I'm going to say secular. I'm going to say Saudi Arabia.
Dan's in with Saudi Arabia. If you fear Allah, sorry, if you fear God, you won't fear humans. Secular Albania. Mm. Albania.
Albania is very close to Albany, New York, which is in the United States. That's what I was thinking.
No, yeah, you're right. I mean, right next to each other. Right on, Booba.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're like cousins.
Exactly. Albany and Albania. Perfect.
All right. Secular or Solomon, no matter... No, here we go. To impose a fine on a righteous man is not good, nor to strike the noble for their uprightness. To impose a fine on a righteous man is not good, nor to strike the noble for their uprightness. Booba.
Oh, man. Hmm. I'm gonna go Solomon. I'm gonna go Proverbs 14.
What was in with Solomon, Proverbs 14, Dan?
Yeah, that sounds Solomon-esque to me as well. And if you go 14, I'll go 16.
Ooh, Dan, ups you one.
Oh, dude, or nothing.
I see you're 14, and I raise you two.
All right, Nick Harris.
Work. Well, I'm gonna have to go with Solomon as well, and I'll have to go with 11.
Ooh. You hey, sure Dan. You don't want to just up? You don't want to up him one?
No,
we got
go
15,
back.
16. You could have had 17. No, you're going backwards.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. To impose a fine on a righteous man is not good, nor to strike the noble for their uprightness. It is Proverbs 17:26.
Mm.
You would have had it, Nick Harris.
I know,
he tried
right?
To hit you. Oh man, all right.
Yeah, I tried to go.
Once I led you astray with Ukraine, I thought I'd help you out. All right, secular or Solomon? Do not take heart all the things that people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. Do not take to heart all the things that people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you, secular or Solomon. Dan.
I'm going to go that is secular, and boy, I'm thinking pretty heavily that's Italy.
Dan is in secular Italy. Nick Harris.
I'll have to go with secular as well. We're supposed to be together.
I'm running some tunes. Just give yourself a second, Nick Harris.
Yeah, there we go.
Somewhere perhaps in South America. Maybe Northern Africa. Come on, Harris.
Italy.
Okay, he's in. He's in with Italy. All right. Were you Italy, Dan?
Yeah, I want to change mine to the UK.
I thought he said something else. Okay.
Well, I was thinking UK, and I said Italy. I was trying to think of, yeah, but UK is what I really want to say, so.
Okay,
we'll
Italy's open. He's up for grabs.
Okay. I'm thinking okay. They have a lot of servants and stuff.
This is a European problem, definitely.
I'll stay with it.
All right, Booba. Let's see.
I'm going to say secular.
Okay.
And I'm going to say Morocco.
Secular Morocco. Do not take to heart all the things that people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. It is Solomon, Ecclesiastes 7:21.
Hey, man, you were rude to throw in all the Ecclesiastes.
7:21.
I got to go read Ecclesiastes.
Here's a hint. When I'm pressed for time, I tend to stay in one or two chapters of Solomon because I ain't got time to be digging them up.
Oh, man.
All right, here we go. Secular or Solomon, no matter how far you have gone on a wrong road, turn back. No matter how far you have gone on a wrong road, turn back. Secular or Solomon, Booba.
Secular. Garth Brooks. Secular Germany.
Secular Germany, Dan.
Germany. Yeah, I'm going secular, and I can't make a connection.
I thought the Autobahn, so I said Germany.
Ooh, there you go. There you go.
Wait, that doesn't imply people turning around. They speed through it.
Yes, they do.
But if they've gone too far,
there's a really dangerous U-turn in the middle of the Autobahn.
It's bad. That's likely what this is about. You're right.
I'm making this up.
My bad.
I'm, boy, I don't even know. We're going to go with, Australia.
I was going to say, we need a map in here, Ben.
Yeah, really. I'm trying to even think of a country.
Do we need a world map?
We need a globe. That way we can just spin it and put our fingers on it. And just be like, fate has decided that we're going to go with Uzbekistan.
I'll see what I can do. Okay. All right, Nick Harris, I'm just going to turn the tunes on, assuming there's going to be an issue here.
Yeah,
I'm
ready. Go ahead.
No matter how far you have gone on a wrong road, turn back, secular or Solomon?
I'll say Solomon, ease up. Sound like it was something.
You're in
there.
For Solomon?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. He's in for Solomon. Here we go. No matter how far you have gone on a wrong road, turn back.
Oh, I say turn. I thought you said don't turn back.
Oh, no, no. Turn back.
Oh, no, no. That's secular.
Definitely. Oh, no. Yeah, yeah. All right. You got a country?
Egypt.
Egypt.
Oh, Egypt. Okay. All right. Here we go. No matter how far you have gone on a wrong road, turn back. It is secular Romania.
Okay.
Romania.
Close.
Oh,
we don't know the world. No wonder we can't make disciples of the world. We don't know what they're thinking.
Has a smaller version of the Autobahn.
All right, secular or Solomon? Better is the end of a thing than its beginning, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Better is the end of a thing than its beginning, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Secular or Solomon, Dan?
I'm going Solomon. You were hanging out in Ecclesiastes, and that has Ecclesiastes written all over it.
Okay. Dan's taking the context, says it's probably Ecclesiastes, Solomon. Nick Harris.
I'd go with Solomon as well.
Okay, you're in for Solomon. Are you going to take a guess on the chapter?
France.
No, you know, it's Solomon, Nick Harris.
Oh, okay.
He's not from France.
Yeah. No, I know, it's okay.
It would be back then.
It'll be
You actually, you don't Solomon. Have to do a chapter if you want to. Hold on, you're hiding behind the thrift store priest.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Solomon. Got me thinking.
Proverbs 2.
Nah,
Proverbs 9. 16.
20.
20, okay.
I'm going to go up 3.
Keep going.
Man, I feel like running an auction on Proverbs. Boova.
Oh, man.
Did you forget it?
I'm going to go Solomon, okay. And I'm going to go Ecclesiastes 2.
Okay, Ecclesiastes 2. Better is the end of a thing than its beginning. That's what my wife says to me. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. It is Ecclesiastes 7:8. Ecclesiastes 7:8.
Man, you were hanging out in Ecclesiastes. You weren't kidding.
Yeah, no. Here's the deal. You track the Proverbs, and so I have to move it up. Go to the Ecclesiastes. He's hard to pick out.
It incentivizes us to go out of Proverbs in the Bible.
Yeah.
All right, fine.
In case you got one of them pocket Proverbs in New Testament or something.
I just get really scared and I hang out in Proverbs.
Here we go. Secular Solomon. Good sense is a fountain of life to him who has it, but the instruction of fools is folly. Good sense is a fountain of life to him who has it, but the instruction of fools is folly. Secular or Solomon? Nick Harris.
Solomon.
Boova.
Solomon, Proverbs 9. No, 7.
Proverbs 7, Dan.
I'm going with Solomon as well.
Dan's in for Solomon. Good sense is a fountain of life to him who has it, but the instruction of fools is folly. It is indeed Solomon, Proverbs 16. Here we go. Are we almost there here? What do we got here? Oh, yeah, we got two more. Okay. Secular or Solomon. The pumpkin gives birth, and the fence has the trouble. The pumpkin gives birth. And the fence has the trouble. Secular or Solomon, Boova.
Okay, first off, this was the proverb you were having issues with.
Dang it, this is the one.
Okay. Can you read it one more time?
The pumpkin gives birth, and the fence has the trouble.
The pumpkin gives birth, and the fence has the trouble. Do pumpkins normally grow along fences?
I thought they grew on the ground.
Yeah, they can.
Right, they're vines, aren't they?
Does this insinuate something about the character of the fence?
Like, I have had one grow on a fence once, but I like the two times I grew pumpkins.
Was it trouble?
Yeah,
it was taking over my yard. And it took over the fence.
Yeah.
Hey, man, maybe that's what it's saying, is when you plant pumpkins, there's a chance it's going to screw up.
Then
the
it got heavy.
Yeah.
And it started pulling the fence down.
Hey, I think we figured this out, Ben.
There it is.
Mm-hmm.
This is okay, so this particular proverb weighs heavy on the mind of either Solomon or someone of the world.
Okay, I'm going to say, okay, so my secular...
Okay.
And I'm going to go Colombia.
What did he say?
Colombia.
Did you say with a G, though?
Colombia.
Did you say Colombia?
Colombia. Bogota.
That sounds like a, some kind of... What do they call it when, when you're losing hair?
Balding?
Alopecia? What is it?
Alopecia is just a skin disease.
Okay, what is it when you... there's some kind of medical name for it when you're losing your hair.
Balding.
No.
No, man.
Getting
know.
Old.
Nah. It's what bald people say when they don't want to say balding. they say something more technical.
I don't know.
It sounds like that. Anyway,
vitiligo.
It doesn't matter. Anyway, that's what Colombia sounds like. I've got a Colombia.
I'm losing my hair. I've got the Colombia.
All right, Dan. The pumpkin gives birth and the fence has the trouble.
Yeah, it's definitely secular. And I'm going to go with France. They do a lot of fencing there.
Is it like the activity? Rather than building
fences? Just go with it.
Okay, all right.
Here's the thing. Dan is on to something. Because that seems like a trouble for a fencer as well.
Yeah. If there's a pregnant... gives birth in the middle of your fencing match,
yeah.
It's going to have an issue.
I mean, a pregnant pumpkin.
Poking on my sword.
This is very, very heavy. These swords are flimsy.
En garde. Gourd with child. Nick Harris.
I'm going to go with secular as well, and I'm going to have to go with Italy again, Dan.
All right.
We have wrong nose ropes.
Those Italians and their pumpkins.
I award 10 points to Nick Harris for having a country at the ready, and then a 10-point deduction for reusing the same country he used last time.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes we got to bring it back.
Duly noted.
All right, I'm going to get you an atlas, Nick Harris. You just need like 10 countries at the ready so you can spit them out. All right, here we go. The pumpkin gives birth and the fence has the trouble. Secular Morocco.
What?
Morocco.
Morocco is the same as
hey, man, early. I used Morocco too early.
Yep. You're a man ahead of your time.
All right, here we go. Secular or Solomon, a truth spoken before its time is dangerous. A truth spoken before its time is dangerous. Secular or Solomon. Where did I end up here? Dan.
Egypt. Egyptian secular.
Secular Egypt. Nick Harris.
Say it again one more time.
A truth spoken before its time is dangerous.
Yeah, that sounds like secular. I'll go with Syria.
Secular Syria. All right, Nick Harris.
Well,
that's a way to grab one. Buva.
Oh, man. I'm break the mold. I'm going to go Solomon.
Okay, Solomon.
And I'm going to say Ecclesiastes.
Three.
No, you would be on to something.
I don't know. I don't know my Ecclesiastes. And that I don't know. Yeah. Ecclesiastes 3.
Okay.
Solomon.
All right. A truth spoken before its time is dangerous. Is secular Greek.
That is a Greek saying, isn't it?
That is indeed a Greek saying. All right, that's it. But what are the points here?
All right, I've got Dan at -1,000.
Yes.
I have Nick Harris also at -1,000.
Oh, man.
And just because I decided to go against myself, I'm at -1,500.
Ooh, that's man. A tie. Good job, fellas.
I thought, hey, man, I could take advantage of the situation and finally not be in the negative, but then I'm like... That doesn't feel right. So I made myself -1,500.
And we will be giving canned beans to your respective charities. That's the way to be a loser.
Yeah.
I might actually do that. Nick Harris, I'm going to donate a can of beans somewhere in your name.
Definitely. I
Nick Harris, comma Syria. all right. If you want to dig on past episodes of Secular versus Solomon, just go to the website and do a search for Secular versus Solomon, and you'll see all the past clips of the show, and you can see how terrible you are. Hopefully you're better than what we have going on. Broad point here is, can we discern biblical wisdom, right? Like, people got a bunch of stuff on plaques and desk calendars, and we say, I live by this. But, like, I mean, is it a guy with a pregnant pumpkin in Morocco? Because maybe he's not the guy to speak into your life. I mean, I'm not saying it's bad, but just make sure you're not making life decisions based upon it solely. See what Solomon's up to. Maybe he's got something that'll help you out. So that's why we do Secular versus Solomon, and you can enjoy that on the website. Go to lifeinthepath.org.
Remember to read Ecclesiastes.
Yeah, and go ahead and just read on through that
just
business.
Hang on.
You know,
happy.
I've been finding lately, so I've always had trouble sticking to Bible reading. Like, I had good intentions of doing Bible reading, and then I just don't stick with it. And so I decided two things I was going to do. I was going to try to get to a chapter a day, and then I was going to have to do a commentary on it, basically. My own personal commentary. Because if I thought if I did that, then I can't just skim it. Like, I have to actually pay attention to what it is and kind of write it out. And then the second thing was is try to have people that will at least agree to be the recipients of the commentary on a pseudo-daily basis so that I had some level of accountability to produce it for. And what I found is I did really well for maybe a month, maybe a month to 6 weeks. And I kind of fell out, but only by a few days. So like now I'm pretty consistent at 4 or 5 days a week on, still digesting a chapter of scripture and providing written commentary on it. That is helpful really for me. Like it's been, there are other people there to see it, but really, I found that like diarying it, if you want to think of it that way, but like it's a mix of this was complicated. This is probably the right way to understand it. They're referring to Old Testament. This is how the Old Testament speaks of this. And actual life application stuff. Like, based on what Paul is saying here, we probably need to, you know, tighten up on your job, homie, because, like, we got problems if we're not listening to this. This is kind of our life application stuff. And, frankly, I found that it has been very helpful because what it – this goes to something that Boova was talking about just before the show started is, like, teaching something, obviously, you tend to grasp it better because you're spending more time knowing that you're going to have to produce it back to someone. And, like, I'm not teaching this on a daily basis, but I'm posturing as if I am, and I'm finding that I'm getting, a lot more out of it. And, frankly, creating good basis in case you do have to teach it at some time in the future. I've got a note set on Ben's loose-leaf commentary on Galatians. So anyway, I submit that to you only because when it comes to like if you're going to read, maybe you're going to go back and read Ecclesiastes, maybe you're going to read Proverbs, or you're doing some Bible reading. I would say Bible reading is good, but be very careful that like if you're going to be in there, make sure you're getting out of it what you can get out of it, right? Like you might as well be enriched by it and be fed by it. As opposed to taking in empty calories, just saying, hey, I read the chapter today. And I know that not everyone is as subject to that. I just know that I am. Like, if I do not write it down, if I don't react to it in conversation, or if I don't react to it trying to figure out a way to teach it in some way, I'll take it in. Like, I've read through, 3 years ago, I read the Bible, all the way through in like a lesson. It was like 9 months something with a group of fellas. And I find that as I'm going back redoing some of these books, I'm like, I don't particularly remember that. It's because I wasn't paying attention. I just knew that I had to get it done. There were other guys on the other side of this thing that were going to check me if I didn't have it done, and I just didn't want to be the guy who didn't read it. But to be honest, I may have wasted some of my time in some of those books missing like actual food, spiritual food that God had for me. So if that's something you're struggling with, like it's a lot. I'll tell you this, it's a lot of work. There have been at times like I'll spend an hour and a half trying to, especially parts of Hebrews, freaking Hebrews. Like, some of the, like, there's Old Testament quote after Old Testament quote, and I'm going back and trying to verify context and make sure you're thinking of it right, and he's making a big overarching thing, and it's connected with chapters before, and like, there's a lot of guys who said it way better than I did, but that wasn't the point. The point was for me to digest it. So if you're struggling with that, you don't have to go that far, but like, I don't know, if you have kids, think of, if you had to explain this to your kids, could you get it down to a paragraph or so without otherwise diminishing the impact of it? Are you checking when someone quotes the Old Testament or quotes other things elsewhere in the New Testament? Like, did you check the context of that? It just helps churn it. And then, frankly, the rest of the Bible becomes easier to digest because you've actually connected it right. Like, you see someone quotes Malachi, you're not like, oh, what the heck? what's Malachi about? You're like, I know what Malachi is about. I remember reading it. And so, anyway, just on the thought of going back and reading through Ecclesiastes, if you're going to sit down at the table with a fork, you might as well eat something good. And so, dig in on it. Don't just smear it on your face and be happy that you interacted with your food. All right. Boova, what do you got? Do you have your Live from the Path over there?
I sure do.
Okay.
Dear Live from the Path, my former spouse and I are divorced and share a 3-year-old daughter. Soon after the baby was born, my ex came out as transgender and now lives as a woman. Mm. I've always been supportive of her transition, adopting her new name, feminine pronouns, etc. But now she wants something I'm not comfortable with. She wants our daughter to think she is her second mommy, not her daddy. She doesn't want any association with being her biological father and won't even acknowledge it. It would be one thing if we were actually a same-sex couple and the father was a random sperm donor, but my ex actually is my daughter's father. All this so my ex can live in a fantasy world? This is causing a lot of tension between us, am I right? Or is it okay to tell your kid a flat-out lie about who her dad/second mom is?
I mean, I won't lie to my kids about Santa Claus, so I feel like this is a flat no. I get that there's some sensitivity to it. Frankly, even like with the state of whatever this fella is in. But I just I don't know that there's I don't know that I couldn't do it. I don't think I could do it.
No.
Nor do I think it's healthy to do it. Like if you want to live in true, you got to live in true things, right? So like whatever that is going on in the life or the mind or the heart of the transitioning person, like you're still dealing with reality, right? It is a flat out falsehood to act like they did not father this child. And so, like, if this is a true thing for this person, if you're trying to support it by false things, then, right, it obviously puts in sharp relief what the basic issue is here. But, like, if it is, you have to deal in truth, one way or the other. You're just going to have to deal in the true thing. You're going to have to acknowledge whatever's going on over there. Like, you're going to have to do that, too. The truth is, this is what's going on with your father. Here's the circumstances around it. Here's how you can kind of digest it. But, like, I can't see a value here in acting like that's not true.
Yeah, you're not preparing your child for reality and adulthood, which is your job. If you're playing along with this fantasy, I mean, there's mental illness going on. I mean, I know that's not politically correct, but we're not here to create a politically correct child. You're here to raise your child, right? I mean, I would definitely have an honest conversation with my child and say, here's what's going on. Daddy's confused. There's some stuff going on. Still love daddy, but he's not your mommy. I mean,
right.
So she's already going further than I would anyway, already. I mean, using the pronouns and pretending like he's a girl. He's not a girl.
But, you know, like, Caesar's doing what Jesus wants us to do. Like, you know, we can't really judge him. So, I mean, if that's what he really chose to do, but you got to extend your hand with love to let him know that you will accept whatever he got going on, like, so far, even though it's not the right decision, you know, to basically do that. But, you know, like, she just extending her love to him. And, you know, I think it's up to the dad to really explain to the child what's going on with him. You know, like, I don't think it'd be fair to just tell the child, like, I'm your mom, you know, and deny the child. But I think on the mom's part, she did the right thing by extending love and not really, you know, judging him. But at the same time, that's something that he got to deal with Jesus, you know, like, that's his deal.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, it's not like it's something that she can really do in a situation like that, but it's in love. But at the same time, he had to tell the child, like, you know, this was going on, and you know, you can't tell the child like you his mom and don't really want nothing to do with him. I think that's wrong.
Well, so I don't think the question I don't think was proposing that you don't have anything to do with him, but like on its face, Nick Harris, I don't. How can you? The truth of it is, this child was fathered by this person.
Yeah, definitely.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, like, I don't know. I think I'm with you in some of the things that you're saying, but like, it doesn't. It is not our. Ultimately, he's going to have to work it out with Jesus. But the truth is that you know biblically how the world is created.
It's
you know how God has identified things. It's not like you don't have the grounds to say, hey, look, I know this isn't right.
Right.
Right? And like it is.
I'm not saying agree with what he's doing, but I mean, it's like she can't really bash him and show hatred in a situation for something right. that he chose that he's going to have to deal with.
And I don't think that was on the table, right? Like, the question isn't, hey, do you love him or hate him, right? The question is how do you deal with someone who is otherwise saying, hey, the truth is that I'm your second mommy.
But you know,
that
the truth
you father
hurts.
The child.
The truth hurts. So it's like when she come at him with the truth, it's like he not going to really accept it from the start because he already made a decision to be turn himself to a girl, basically, you know? So it's like, the only thing you can do is tell him to step up to the plate and still be her father. You know, like, do what you do, whatever, when you do it or how you do it, but be there for the kid to be her father. You know, like, that's the only thing I can really.
But he wants to be the second mom and say, I'm not the father. Like, that's just not, it's not true, right? Like, I think we can probably agree on here is that, like, the truth is best. The truth is, this person is part of creating you. You will love them, right? We show grace to them. The truth is, they were part of creating you, and there's no amount of changes that can go under to make that not have been the case, to have not been the father that provided the sperm that created the child.
True.
And so, both of those things are true. I think the advice here is to say, like, you just don't create falsehoods. Don't create false realities. Try to understand rightly what is going on. Describe it for things for what they are, and react to people in truth and honesty. And then, like, ultimately, you like what the man is doing. You're not going to change it by saying, "Hey, I refuse to call you second mommy." Well, then I'm a dude again, I guess. It's not going to happen, right? So you have to deal with that situation rightly. But to deny the creation aspect, like, what a thing to take away from a kid. How selfish is that? Dan's right. There's a confusion here somewhere. But like, how could you look at a child that you created and then say, and then take that role away from them and say, "No, I didn't."
Right.
Like, that's heartbreaking to me.
Right. Yeah, that's the point I was getting at. Like he didn't really want to, you know, take responsibility for it. You know, like, you didn't push her out. Like, you put her in. So it's like, you can't really take yourself out of the equation. Like you said, it's doing your part as being the man that created her, you know, like, so.
Yeah, I think you just have to deal with true things here. And the true things are complicated. True things require love, even in their complication. The relationship is there in a very special way, whether man acknowledges it or not. My advice is that you're going to have to deal in true things here, regardless of how difficult they seem.
True.
Secular says, what is your ex plan on telling this child when the question, "Where is my daddy?" eventually comes up? I do not advise lying. The truth always has a way of coming out, and believe me, it's only a matter of time until this one does. Better your child not be caught flat-footed when it happens. Your daughter should be told the truth in stages and in an age-appropriate manner.
Yeah, I mean, that's true for every complication in life. It's
right.
It's true for every weird relationship that might have existed in a family. Like,
yeah.
Don't lie and tell them appropriately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sounds about right.
Yep, I agree.
We got time for another one?
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Dear Life of the Path, a close female relative hosts parties quite often. Excuse me. When she sends the menu for each of us to choose what we would like to make, she states that all the recipes must be dairy-free, cheese-free, butter-free, and soy-free.
What? The first three are dairy.
I was going to say, why is she saying dairy-free, cheese... Okay, sorry. She's the only one among us who is on a special diet.
Yep.
I agree that a few of the dishes should cater to her needs, but all of them? It really limits what we can make and inhibits some from bringing their specialty. Some of us feel she's behaving in a very self-centered manner and that it's wrong because she's drawing all of the attention to herself. Isn't expecting 30 people to eat at the party based on her diet too much? She sees nothing wrong with it. When I invite her for dinner, I prepare something for her, but the rest of the meal is for the entire group. What is her answer here?
Yes, I think that's...
answered it already. Like, you know, just make separate meals.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's... I think that's selfish.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Agreed.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do that. Like, I have a very strict, specific set of things I need right now, like, that I can eat. And I just say, well, I mean, I went out to lunch with people on Sunday. Well, excuse me. I sat there while they ate lunch, because I couldn't have anything on the menu, but I wasn't just going to say, hey, no, I'm going to go and be a curmudgeon and hang by myself. I just sat there and drank water with lemon. You need to realize that if you're making choices, that's great, but don't expect everyone to bend to what you're doing. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, I would say, like, if you're going to invite her over for dinner, like, I would make something...
Totally.
Not just for her, though. Like, I would make it that the whole family's eating the thing that she has. Yep. So that, like, she... I mean, there's no reason to separate her off from a community.
Right,
That feels awkward, frankly.
Right.
But that's because I invited her. But if you're going to hold a shindig and there's 30 people there and you're the only person with restrictions, like, be gracious, handle it yourself.
This gal is basically sending a list out saying, here's 30 things you guys can cook for me.
Yeah.
Go ahead and bring them. Super excited for the potluck.
Yep.
Oh, man. All right. Secular says, if others feel the way you do, the answer is to tell your relative the truth. That what she's asking from her guests is too much. Her behavior does seem excessively controlling. I can see her asking a few guests to prepare something, taking into consideration her dietary restrictions. But frankly, I'm surprised so many people have been willing to continue to participate in these potlucks. From where I sit, they're a lot to swallow.
Here's the deal, is like, if you're having a nice get-together with people that care about, someone will do that anyway. You don't have to tell them to do it. They'll say, oh, I know. In fact, we happened at church this week. There was a lady that made two different things because, like, there's a few of our kids who don't have who do gluten-free stuff. They're just better at that. They feel better. And, like, we do, like, most of those families will eat before they come. They don't expect people to do it. But the lady was gracious and made a nice, I mean, it was good, too. I had it. And, like, she just knew that. We didn't ask for it. She just did. And because she wanted to. She wanted to serve people in that way and be gracious. So, like, if people know that, they will do it anyway. To dictate it to that larger group of people is just silly. It's just silly. Let people be nice.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, you got time for one more.
All right. Dear Live from the Path, I work as a runner in a law firm, which means I do pickups, make deliveries, and do any other out-of-office tasks the lawyers or their staff need. Part of my job involves picking up lunch for the office. Sometimes the office manager will give me cash from the firm account to pay. Other times the lawyers give me money out of their pockets to cover it. Whenever I pick up and pay for these orders, the cashier slash waiter is usually expecting a decent tip, especially when there are large orders. I am instructed to tip 10%. No more. Personally, I believe in being more generous because I know how poorly restaurant workers are paid. However, because the money is not mine, I must tip only what I am instructed to. Sometimes, depending on the order, this results in a very poor tip. How can I let the cashier know that I would tip more if it were my money, but I can't because it's not? I know just saying I would if I could doesn't help them much.
I mean, you kind of avoided what was the right logical solution. Increase the tip with your own money. I assume they paid for your lunch, right? Isn't it? We're saying like the office folks are paying for your lunch. So like if it's that offensive to you, take the cost of your lunch and add it to the tip.
I mean, can't be that much.
Yeah.
$5 or something. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah. I mean, then you, like if it's on your conscience, at least you know you're doing as best you can. But like other than that, just trying to make excuse for your chintzy boss.
Right. How do I tell the person, yeah, I'm eating part of this food too. I'm really sorry. I wish I could do more though. And then tip them $4.
I mean, the truth is that I could do more. I just am not going to.
Yeah.
I would like to shirk this responsibility to someone else to take care of, but I'd really like to weigh on the whole morality of it myself.
I mean, your second option is to go talk to the lawyer and say, look, quit being a skinflint. Increase your tip. It's embarrassing. I'm going out there and like, they know our office ordered it and you're getting a bad name because you're tipping like a cheese ball.
Unless he could just tell his guys at the law firm, like, you know, like, we gotta tip the guy, you know, like, I mean, you know, if he feel that much bad about it, then, I mean, why not tell them guys, like, you know, everybody just tip in a few bucks because since I'm the guy that the Indian is running and getting shot with the arrows going to pick up the food. Like,
right. I'm not rolling out there with your cheap bucks trying to take the shot for this.
Right.
Yeah.
This is so offensive, I'm going to have to leave.
Yeah. Fair enough, Dan. Yeah. I would say... you got two options. I mean, lobby the lawyers to kick in some bucks and, or put it in yourself. But like, here's the deal is, Bubba, if you were on the other side of this thing at the restaurant, someone goes, like, is there any language that would otherwise make you feel better about the fact that they're giving you a flat 10?
No, it's like the guy that pulls up to somebody that's on the side of the road and needs money or needs food and they go, ah, man, it seems like you're in the real straits. Sorry about that. And then pulls away.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care. I don't need to know how sorry you feel for me. A buck would be nice.
Right.
I could use a hot dog and a water. That'd be great. But you're, oh man, I really wish I could help more. Thanks for the Sammy. And then run out. Like, there's no way to fix that. This person is putting, they're putting the, here's the deal. Here's what I think. They're making themselves feel better by being conscious of the problem, but then are not willing to fix it. Right. And that's a problem. It's a pride issue. All they're trying to do is make themselves feel better for this situation. They're saying, I'm morally better than these people, but I'm not willing to go far enough to actually fix it.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's 100% true.
Yep. I would say that's right on, Bubba.
All right. Secular says, your bosses don't tip more than 10% because they are getting takeout, not table service.
That's also a good point. I didn't even think of that.
You should not feel embarrassed or apologize to them. If you are wise, you will say nothing. Because to do otherwise will make it appear that you think your employers are cheap, and word travels.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I didn't even put two thoughts together there.
Yeah.
If anybody should be getting the tip, it should be the lady who's running the food. Of course, they're paying her hourly wage. You
exactly,
don't need a
tip. Yeah, the runner gets an hourly wage. They're not going to get tipped for that.
Yeah, you know what? Mm-hmm. I rescind everything I said.
Yeah.
I don't think you have to tip the takeout, man. The guy in the kitchen doesn't, he's not working for tips.
I don't think I've ever once tipped a takeout person.
Mm. Yeah, like where did that expectation come from? I mean, here's...
Hey, I showed up to your establishment where you made me food and I paid for it. Great job.
Right,
I'm going to run out with it. Yeah, right. That's like... I barely tip people at buffets. Like, I try and tip them a little bit because they're cool about, like, bussing the table and stuff like that. But, like, you're not... I mean, you're still doing part of the job, but I'm not going to give you, like, a 25% tip for, hey, you need more Miller Yellow? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be back. Please have it here when I come back with my other plate of food.
And they charge you for the extra mellow yellow.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point.
Okay.
I don't know, Boob, is there any more? We got time for probably one more if you got an interesting one over there.
I just closed it out, but I can pull it back up if you want to.
All right. We're just going to call this thing a day. All right, you've been hanging out with us. Thanks for listening to Live from the Path. We appreciate it. Nick Harris, thanks for being here, buddy.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Anytime.
Let's see. Well, next week on the show, I don't have any idea what's going on. If you got any interesting articles or anything, shoot us an email, info@livefromthepath.org. I would love to hear from you. And if you could think of that bald thing.
Is it alopecia?
Is it leukemia?
No, that's a cancer.
Yeah, okay, but that's from chemo.
Yeah, no, I'm just talking like the medical term for baldness. Anyway, if you know that, send it over. I mean, I can Google it, but I mean, if you know it, just send it about, and then I'll
connect
take
with
it.
Let us know.
All right, anyway, check us out on the website, livefromthepath.org, past clips of the show. In the meantime, we will see you next week. In the meantime, be faithful in means. God will handle the ends. You've been listening to Live from the Path.